Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. This chapter is about the rebellion against Solomon's son, Rehoboam. This is the rebellion that will split the kingdom of Israel into two. And we'll see two kingdoms, one called the Kingdom of Israel, which is up in the north, and the one in the south that gets named the Kingdom of Judah. Now, it's important before we get into the verses that you understand that two of the names of two of the characters are going to sound very much alike in this chapter. There's Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son. He succeeds Solomon as the ruler in the kingdom. He is wearing the crown. But then after Rehoboam, there's another character called Jeroboam, beginning with a J. And Jeroboam is the foreman of all the building projects. So he's got the heart of the people in his hand. So you've got a king and a foreman, and the split happens between those two. So pay attention to the names, and here we go. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned to Egypt. So they sent to Jeroboam, and he and all Israel went to Rehoboam, the king, and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Come back to me in 3 days." So the people went away. You know, you can have a parent, and as wise as they are, somehow that wisdom doesn't always pass down to the next generation, to the child. Now Solomon was wise beyond all human ability, but none of that wisdom passes down to his son Rehoboam, and we'll see that in this chapter. Jeroboam, the foreman, who was once over the king's building force and many of the projects that were still as yet unfinished, but Solomon worked his men hard, too hard in fact, according to Jeroboam. So Jeroboam hopes that Rehoboam, his son, won't be quite as driven. We read about this drivenness in Ecclesiastes, when the author of that book, Solomon himself, speaks of building great building projects in order to try and find fulfillment and satisfaction. Now, if we were reading a book of conflict management, we do the opposite of what King Rehoboam does here to handle Jeroboam. Kind of like Dwight Schrute, the character from the TV show The Office. He once said, "Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing." So learn from Dwight. Learn from Rehoboam. Let's retrace his steps and find out what he did wrong and how we can learn not to do what an idiot does. In verse 3, Rehoboam listens to the complaints of Jeroboam. Good. In verse 5, he says, "Give me some time to think about what you've said." So far, so good. He's off to a great start. In verse 6, he consults with old people. Excellent. They've got experience and a ton of wisdom from working alongside Solomon, the wisest man in the world. And they tell him, verse 7, "If you will be kind to these people and please them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But that's where it goes south, because verse 8 tells us Rehoboam rejected the advice that the elders gave him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What's your advice, young men? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put upon us'?" The young men who grew up with him replied, "The people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" Young guy tough talk. So the saying, "Young men think old men are fools, but old men know young men are fools," is very applicable here. Isn't it funny how the older generation is always looked down upon as morons who don't understand how life works, often by the younger generation? And yet consider, imagine for a moment, you were born in 1900. When you were 14 World War I begins and ends. When you're 18 with 22 million dead, soon after a global pandemic, the Spanish flu appears, killing 50 million people. And you're alive, and you're only 20 years old. When you're 29, you survive the global economic crisis that started with the collapse of the New York Stock Exchange, causing inflation, unemployment, and famine. When you're 33 years old, the Nazis come to power. When you're 39, World War II begins and ends. And when you're 45 years old with 60 million dead in the Holocaust, 6 million Jews die. And when you're 52, the Korean War begins. And when you're 64, the Vietnam War begins and ends when you're 75. A child born in 1985 thinks his grandparents have no idea how difficult life is, but they've survived several wars and catastrophes. Now, that is adapted from the writings of J. Scold Alexander Holder. But perhaps older people have wisdom that comes from experience. The next thing we see in this chapter, the next mistake, is that although Rehoboam consults old and young, he fails to consult the one person who would have made all the difference, God. And if we don't have a verse for that one, well, it's because he just didn't do it. But it's there behind the scenes, glaring at all of us. The next thing Rehoboam did was something you should never do in a conflict. He answered harshly when a soft answer would have turned away wrath. Lastly, his final fatal mistake is that he refused not only to acknowledge their complaint, he added to it by threatening them. And let me tell you, threats never go down too well. I mean, once he threatened to make them work harder, what in the heck did they have to lose by rebelling? So they rebelled against him. It just goes to show you that wise parents can have very foolish children, but also very foolish parents can also have very wise kids. Growing up, I remember some of my friends' parents being not very wise. I mean, I was a kid, and I knew that they were foolish. They would get drunk in front of their kids and pass out on the floor, and their toddlers would have to wake them up crying. As a kid, I knew this is wrong, but it was the 70s. Those were crazy times. When my generation started coming to faith, we often found that we were wiser than our parents simply because we had the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't the arrogance of youth. In fact, the way that you know the difference between an arrogance of a young person versus the timeless, ageless wisdom that comes to a Christian is that when a Christian gains wisdom, they become humble and they actually respect their elders, despite the foolish actions they may make. You'll find yourself listening, answering people softly, finding solutions instead of making threats. You'll de-escalate situations, and you'll become a peacemaker where others have failed. You won't split kingdoms, friendships, or families. You'll stop and ask yourself the very wise question of Drew Schrute: would an idiot do that? And then, like Dwight, you'll do the opposite. Well, read 2 Chronicles chapter 10 today and ask yourself, would an idiot do this? And then do the opposite. We'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.